I make these ends meet? It's Home Economics with Shahmobile Yaqub on 95 BFM. Thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's fastest growing KiwiSaver plan.
Morena Shahmobile, how are you?
Morena, I'm very well, thank you.
It's turned out to be quite a lovely day.
Oh, it looks pretty weird and windy out in Hillsborough.
Oh, sorry. Hopefully that'll pass and you'll get what we have in the central city right now, which is a little bit of blue sky and some sun.
It's nice, isn't it, for August?
Yeah, for August, well, I don't know. The newsreader tells me that climate change is wreaking irreparable havoc, so maybe if I don't think about it too hard, it's nice.
Yeah, and I guess Wellingtonians will be happy. They'll probably be enjoying some good weather finally.
Very true. The last few times I've been to Wellington, I have noticed it's a lot more dealable to not have your hair plastered to your head. Speaking of havoc, the dollar. Apparently it's taken a nosedive. And for those who are not so financially literate, do we even notice and do we care?
Well, we absolutely notice and we should care. And a lot of it is to do with essentially so much of what we buy comes from overseas, right? So
right.
Think about the things that we buy in terms of off Amazon or ASOS.
Right.
But also the stuff that we buy from local shops. A huge amount of the product will be coming into New Zealand from other countries. So when we buy these things from other countries, when the New Zealand dollar is weaker, it means that it needs more New Zealand dollars to buy that same stuff. So essentially it's driving up the cost of those products. So what you'll find when you go onto your Amazon or whatever next time, that when it comes to your bill on your credit card or debit card, you're spending a lot more than you expected than,
right,
say, 2 or 3 months ago.
Right. Although a lot of people have stopped doing so much overseas shopping, now the duty is in effect.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think the big thing with the GST is that I think it was unfair, right? I mean, why should you be able to get away with not paying GST on products?
Totally.
Because it makes it uncompetitive for local businesses. But a lot of the reasons why people buy things from overseas is not just because of the cost, but because of variety. Because, you know, I don't know about you, because I'm a bit short and stumpy, it's really hard for me to find jeans that fit me when I go to the shops.
Right.
But I can buy it online.
This is true. There is a great deal more variety. If the dollar has taken a nosedive, what does the government, what does the Reserve Bank do? Do they freak out? Do they try and take measures? Or do they just go, it'll come around again?
Yeah, so they don't stress too much because we don't have a lot of control over it. So if you think about the economy, there's only so many things you can manage. So we choose to manage interest rates, which means that we can't manage the currency. So we choose to have a floating exchange rate. And so for the Reserve Bank, their big concern is whether or not, on balance, it's going to be good for the economy or bad for the economy. Now, if you think about the flip side of who wins when the currency falls, it's the exporters, right?
Right,
right. So for the exporters, for the same product, they're getting a whole lot more revenue because the exchange rate is weaker. And so exports are about a third of our economy, so it's pretty big. So when the currency falls, we'll see quite a lot of positive impact in rural economies and the export economy. So the Reserve Bank is really kind of balancing those things out. And the inflation we get from exchange rates, they tend to be quite transitory. Like, what I mean by that is we tend to get a short, sharp shock, but it doesn't tend to last. Not like, say, you can't find enough stuff and your cost of wages go up and your cost of services go up when it's more local.
Right, so it's not long-term damage. It usually does kind of correct it itself?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it is to do with whether or not some of the retailers will be absorbing the shock. So what you tend to find is just because the exchange rate has fallen doesn't mean the price of imported products on the shop shelves will go
right
up immediately, because some the retailers would have, or importers would have, hedged. So they would have taken out some sort of derivative product to try and kind of manage their currency risk. But also, because there's stock already, they're not going to raise those prices because the next lot of the stock is going to be going up in cost.
Right. So they've probably factored that in, yeah? They've got a little bit of a buffer in case this stuff happens.
Usually. And we see this, for example, with things like the price of milk, right? So the price of supermarket milk doesn't move around as much as the wholesale price of milk. So what we tend to find is businesses that sell products will tend to try and minimize the volatility in prices, because as you and I go to the shop, we don't want to be seeing prices going up and down all the time.
Right.
And so retailers try and manage that, and they kind of absorb that into their margins as and when they can.
It is. It does lead to famously silly things like expat Kiwis in London buying Anchor butter for cheaper than they can get it here, though.
Yeah, so, well, the butter thing in the UK is funny. This is a big bugbear of mine. So I lived in Aussie for a while, and it was quite frustrating to see that the cost of supermarket products in Australia were cheaper than in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And quite a lot cheaper for fresh food in particular. And it kind of feels funny because you'd think that being a country that's so good at growing things, that it should be cheaper, right? But the challenge is also New Zealand is very small. That means that to service our market, it's actually very expensive.
Right.
And there might be some issues with how much competition there is. You know, we don't have a lot of competing supermarkets where we can buy our food from.
Right. So it's not just greed. It is more nuanced than that, potentially?
Well, I'm sure there's a bit of greed. Greed does make the wheels of commerce turn, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that we don't want too much of the greed to be getting away too easily. Right? Because we don't want to part with our money that we don't have to.
Very true, especially not when you live in Auckland. For something happening such as the dollar falling, what does cause that in the first place?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to be really upfront with you. Economists have no idea. We're really, really bad at predicting these things from happening.
Well,
I'll tell you a little story. No, it's not great, is it? I'll tell you a little story. When I first started working in 2001, I know I'm old, I had to do a little chart for my boss, and it was essentially the forecast of the currency at the beginning of the year for what would be at the end of the year. And going back to the 1980s, not once did the forecast fall within the range of forecasts.
Wow.
Right? So by the end of the year, we were completely off. But part of the reason why we think, now I'm going to try and explain why I think the currency is falling. I think part of the reason is the Reserve Bank has changed tack in New Zealand. So until recently, there was a view that the Reserve Bank would be raising interest rates and they were confident in the economy, but it feels like they have softened the tone. So
right.
The next move in interest rates is still quite far away, and that's part of it. But also there is this kind of weakness in the global sentiment. So if you look at what's happening, there is a big crisis in Turkey,
yeah.
which has really been led off by the trade war with the U.S. Now, the U.S. is waging a trade war in many countries, including China. So there is this kind of wider uncertainty that affects global financial markets. And a country like New Zealand, you know, think about us as a very small part of a very big economy. And when there is, I guess, people get scared, then leave these very small markets. So we tend to be seen as risky, small, and vulnerable.
Right.
So we tend to get punished. So those are some of the reasons why the New Zealand dollar is falling. But it's really, really hard to predict accurately.
Well, I mean, as you say, it's a basket of many, many different woven pieces. It's hard to pinpoint, I'm sure. But also quite refreshing to have someone say, you know what, don't really know.
Well, I think you'll find with the field of economics, there is quite a lot of that. It's a very young subject, and because we're dealing with humans, and you know, humans are notoriously unpredictable, we're trying to kind of make sense of little parts of how we interact and how we behave, and we haven't figured it all out, and I don't think we ever will.
It sounds like so much of it is fear-based in psychology, so you almost want to have an economics degree and a psychology degree to boot.
Well, and that's a big part of where economics is going. So there is a whole field of behavioral economics, which is all about the human psychology. So, you know, all those things around how we make mistakes. So we don't always think with a rational brain. We have a lizard brain inside that does quite a lot of thinking for us. That's what saves you when you're crossing the road and, you know, you don't really think about it consciously, but you see the car coming. But also there's things that really stops us in terms of our financial goals, right? So, for example, we have this incredible overconfidence of our ability. So we think we know what we're doing.
Yep.
We also have this problem with not being able to put enough weight on the future. So we value what we're going to do now much more than what we will do in the future. So we would really hate to give up a little bit of money today for savings mm-hmm. for a comfortable retirement. So there's all these kinds of things that are just kind of ingrained in us. So a lot of the public policies around trying to fix that. And so behavioral economics is really important in that. And that's why KiwiSaver has an automatic enrollment. So when you start a job, you get straight into a KiwiSaver, right?
Right.
And the reason for that is, even though it's a voluntary scheme, they don't want to ask you if you want to. Because if you're asked, most people would say no.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh no, I could use that money, eh?
But because it's automatic enrollment, most New Zealanders are on QCiver, which is a fantastic outcome.
It is. And I mean, I guess the best we can hope for is more financial education and literacy. And then that's kind of what this segment is about. So thank you for being part of it.
Pleasure.
All right. Cheers. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, Shamabil.
Thanks. You too.
Talk soon.
Money, money, money must be funny in a post-capitalist utopia. Home Economics on 95 BFM. Thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's fastest growing KiwiSaver plan. Switch online in 2 minutes.